Welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them, if I could say it correctly. I'm Nick Glover.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing The Swapper and Olly Olly.
Swapper.
Yep.
The Swapper. Nick, yes. Tell me about The Swapper.
I will. So The Swapper is a puzzle platformer. It was released for Windows in May of 2013 and was ported to Mac and Linux in February of 2014 and is now on track to be released for PS3, 4, Vita, and Wii U.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere you want to be.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much the basis of it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you liked about this offer?
Yeah. So it's just be noted. So Curve Studios, the company that made this, they crowdfunded it, and I think one of the reasons why they got so much attention is because the game's art style, which rather than being polygons or anything like that, it's actually clay models.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Like, it looks really, really neat.
Yeah, it does. The art style is definitely one of the bigger selling points, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it is it's a game, you are exploring a space station, and you end up getting these... similar to a portal gun, like a gun with two functions, a flashlight, essentially lets you make up to four clones of yourself and then switch consciences between them. And it's got a little bit of like a Metroidvania too, just mm-hmm. in kind of the mapping and, gating off previous areas. You have to backtrack, but it's not dependent on your abilities. It's not like, I have the super jump so I can get up to this point. It's more like, I've cleared this area, so now I can go back to this area. So
yeah.
in that way, it feels a little bit superfluous, but... The cool thing about it is that kind of like dripping atmosphere. Like, it looks really neat. Everything from like when you start it up, the title screen, the music, and just kind of the lighting and everything. Everything looks just super, super spooky and desolate.
Yeah, Derelict Space Station is pretty much like one of the best settings of any form of media. It's always good.
Yeah, yeah, it is always good. It is the number one reason why I want there to be space stations.
Yeah.
Is so we can later abandon them and haunt the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
So, because, if we're going to run into anything spooky, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
The actual mechanic is kind of, it's weird. Like I think it seems neater than it is, like on first blush.
Yeah.
Like at first it's like, oh, this is really, really cool. But then, when you get into what you're actually doing with it, it's a little bit less revelatory than it seems initially. How far did you get to where they started doing the kind of heavy reflex puzzles?
I've only had a couple, not too heavy. Mm-hmm. I've had to like catch clones midair and swap to them as they were falling and stuff.
Like, time freezes when you're aiming the gun, so.
Or slows down significantly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, like, some of the stuff is just trying to figure out, like, it's lots of levers. Like, how do you make a clone stay on this lever while still getting to the spot? But then they also introduced this section where you can kind of, like, climb and fall gently by switching between clones.
Yeah, I've had to use major climbing and falling by swapping midair using the time slow.
Yeah. And it's like kind of neat, but it gets frustrating when it's down to that split second precision. It's like a puzzle game, but it's also based on reflexes
mm-hmm.
a little bit. So that wasn't my favorite thing about it. It also has it's very verbose for a story game. Like there's a lot of text and voice in it.
Yeah,
and I feel like it could stand to do like some more environmental storytelling with these beautiful environments.
Yeah, it didn't seem to take advantage much of the whole setting is this derelict space station, but none of the actual environment itself is telling any of the story. It's just except for a couple times we like start to see kind of like seeing a second Samus or second Samus the first time in the GBA mm-hmm. Metroid. It's like you start seeing other people, and that starts freaking you out, right? Because there's not supposed to be anything else here. But other than that, like all of the story is text based,
and yeah, it's kind of just a computer you go to.
Yeah, you just go to a computer, you get a new log, and that's the whole basis of the story.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer. And then like I didn't get too far into it, but like the story it's heading towards, there's like some heavy weird mysticism to it that I'm not so into.
Right.
Like and it's also there's no way that the twist isn't going to be that the humans, like it's not going to be like, there's no way that it isn't like the Prestige. You
Right.
know that every one of these people you're killing to get there, like the end scene's got to be like every swapped out body you've ever had, you know, just in a big pile or something like that, which like I could see that having a really emotional effect. You know, and it's a interesting kind of theming, like what, you know, what are the results of these, you know, these tools that we use,
Right.
you know, but it weirdly like telegraphed, like that could not be the case, but that really felt like where it was going.
Yeah, and yeah, that's definitely what it feels like. And it's exactly the Prestige. Like, if that is what they go for, which, yeah, I didn't finish it either, but, like, you know, if that's what they lead up to, then sorry, I've heard that story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the mechanics need enough, but it doesn't, like, introduce a whole lot of new elements as you go on. The puzzles just get more complex. And they did a really good job of designing puzzle levels around this single mechanic, but it's a little much without any further variation, in my opinion.
Yeah, it gets a little bit stale. And like I'm also, this is a personal bias, but I'm also just a little bit sick of puzzle platformers, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like, and that this is not found anything, it doesn't bear anything on the quality, but I feel like they've kind of become this a medium to convey aesthetics. So like you have stuff like your Limbo, you know, which like Limbo's neat. Like I like Limbo, but whenever anyone talks about Limbo, everyone's favorite thing about Limbo is how it looks. It's not so important. And like, you know, if you look at something like Braid, which is a similar thing, and like how that looks and sounds, and the mechanics do tie into the narrative of that, but it's become this weird, like, I don't know, just like if I have this theming and look that I want to get across,
It's the fallback genre.
it's like the new FPS.
Yeah, it's the default. If you've got a cool idea for a setting in a story, but not sure what to base a game around it, well, it's just fall back on puzzle platformer.
Right. Or like contrast does
Yeah.
that. Like there's, I mean, there's a lot of games where I just feel like this is neat enough. You know, it's neat, but I'm just kind of I don't know, I'm just kind of sick of doing these kind of singular or barely multiple screen, you know, kind of reflex puzzle type things.
Yeah.
You know, from the side with like a haunting aesthetic. Like it's neat, but I'm just a little bit done with it.
It's been done. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It like, especially I think in the like indie subset
Yeah.
specifically, like Portal's pretty much the one that's done it in AAA, and you know both Portals were really really good. But if everyone started suddenly making puzzle platformers in the AA, like everybody would go pretty sick of them as much as they have generic military
Yeah.
FPSs. So.
It's like how in the indie comics scene, biographical comics are like everywhere. And
Right.
like a good biographical comic I like, it's just too much. They're Indie comics to biographical comics are the same thing as like mainstream comics are to superheroes. Like, I just want a wider variety of genre, I guess. It's neat. Like, I don't know if I'm going to pick it up again, but it is cool. It's, you know, judging it on pass fail, it passes. But
Yeah, I
it's
agree.
like for fans of the genre, is a thing, a douchey thing to say. But like, if you're into this kind of stuff, look at it. And if that kind of thing doesn't seem like it bothers you, I'm fairly sure it's probably pretty short too. Like,
Yeah.
there's no way this game goes on for like 30 hours.
Right.
So it's probably something you could beat in a couple afternoons if you're real into how it looks. So
I agree.
one of the things too that I noticed is like the backgrounds look really cool and stylized, but the way your guy controls, the fact that he's in a clay, makes him kind of clang. The weird, like, I can aim in a different direction than I'm walking, like pointing
Yeah.
your flashlight backwards while walking
It's
forwards and stuff.
very paper dolly.
Yeah,
Like
that's
each
a great way to
segment's
put it.
just like on a single kind of fully rotatable joint, and it doesn't really flow.
And like the settings look really good that way. The person looks a little bit discordant to me.
Yeah.
So, but you know, good, but it's not my favorite thing.
All right, so with that, let's go ahead and jump right into Olly Olly.
What's
So
Ollie into Ollie Ollie?
Olly Olly is a skateboarding game. It's like skateboarding platformer, I guess is the way you'd put it, that was published by or developed and published by Roll7. It originally came out on the Vita, But it's now available on Windows, Mac, Linux, and the PS3 and PS4.
Yeah, and on just about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a like a side-scrolling skate mastery kind of twitch reflex game.
Yes. It is I like starting off playing it, I felt it was like the co-op of skateboarding games.
Hmm.
Like it's a game that's just all control, and everything else is kind of done for you. Like all you have to do is do the control. It'll automatically skate forward for you, and you're just doing your jumps, doing your tricks, and making sure you don't flub up, which is the easiest thing to do in this game.
Did you ever play Skate?
Yes, I did play Skate.
I've not played Skate, but the way this feels is how that game was described to me. If that makes any sense, like
yeah, the thing about Skate though is it's still easier to get around. It's just the input of the like tricks is all stick-based, so mm-hmm. what you do with the sticks defines what trick you're doing, which this does as well, just with one stick. But as far as like there being more to it than that in Skate, there's still like areas to skate around and explore and huge, massive levels that have a whole bunch of stuff in them,
yeah,
similar to Tony Hawk.
There's no exploratory element to Ollie Ollie.
Right.
Like, it is the downhill jam level of Tony Hawk 1.
Exactly.
Like, from the side, and all the levels are that with kind of variations.
Correct.
So, which makes a sense for what it's trying to do, because it's like, as the Tony Hawk series went on, it went further away from these, like, let's create a perfect run to these, you know, more exploratory and more, like, finding your own things. And then the mechanics kind of had to grow to support that, so they added in manuals and reverts and everything, you know, so you
right.
can still combo. And this is really that two-minute perfect run thing that they're going after. And
right.
the goals for every level support that. So it's like, get this huge combo, get this huge point total for the end. It's really precise.
Mm-hmm.
Like I played for a couple hours and I really like it, and but I never really got consistently perfect landings.
Mm-hmm.
In the game, like, I still get sloppy landings pretty frequently because they add in this little bit where you have to tap when you land,
right?
And the timing is hard, is just hard for me. Like,
it is definitely difficult.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've played I think through the first couple levels, like in full, all five kind of portions of each level.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's still crazy difficult. Like I'm starting to get down the controls a little better, but like especially to get some of the further on goals,
mm-hmm.
There's things like the beginning of one of the levels, I think in the first level, first world, is you have to get a 18x combo, so you have to get 18 tricks in a row, and it has this, right at the beginning, is this huge like set of rails with gaps between them that kind of perfectly set you up for that, but you have to do a different trick each time for it to count.
Yeah.
You have to do a trick up on, do one grind, do a different trick into a different grind, into a different trick into a different grind, over and over again in order to get it. And like, I just can't get my fingers to that quickly do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's, still, and then land it. And then still
yeah, and then land
get
it,
the tap at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like rotating an analog stick is always going to feel a little bit less precise than like tapping a button.
Right.
You know, so like most of the Tony Hawk tricks, none of them are Street Fighter, like Hadouken moves. Like all of them are just left, right, or up, down, or, and that's quick and precise, I feel like. It feels different. Like I understand the other approach and I like what this kind of goes for, but I found myself a lot of times going for a more ambitious trick, but the controller only registering me hitting up
yeah.
at the end. So I would just do an Ollie.
Yep.
And,
I get that a lot.
Yeah. And like, I could see that being really frustrating if I was a perfectionist and trying to get everything, you know, like if I was trying to complete that goal, like I just kind of tried to get into as many levels as I could.
Mm-hmm.
If I was trying to get all the goals, like that would drive me fucking bonkers, because like, it's not like unresponsive. Like it feels like my fault, but it's just getting your hand to make to articulate the motions, like in your rush to do the movement quickly, you're making shortcuts that are obscuring the motion you're doing.
I kind of feel like this would actually better control with something like a fight stick, because in order to like execute the move you're trying to execute, the main thing is that at the end of it, you have to have the stick go to null input.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let go of the stick and have it return to its default. And doing like when I'm on a controller, my thumb doesn't want to leave that stick.
Yeah.
It's just not the typical way that I control games. Like my thumb is always doing something. So like getting accustomed to that was part of the hardest part of me getting used to trying to play this game. And I'm still not very good, but
Yeah, I bet you would control great with the fight stick, because the other thing is you have real clear demarcations when you're in one of the directions. Like you just have that little notch so you feel it there on a fight stick, where in a way you don't on the Xbox controller. Which is how I played it.
Equating it to a fighting game motion is definitely very, very close. For the more complex tricks, it's always like quarter circles and half circles and all that,
In fact,
so.
like I bet you if you did this, if you had like that the Raspberry Pi thing from AGDQ and recorded your movements of doing a run in this game onto a fight stick and then input them into a fighting game, like I could see them being a combo.
That'd be funny.
Like it's essentially that's what you're doing here, is like practicing like a perfect run in Ollie Ollie going from the top to the bottom is a really precise combo
Yeah.
of controller motions. Just like really, really perfectly timed. And like that's what it's going after. Like if you like that idea of like getting that down, and there's a little bit more creative freedom in it, you know, that's not like you have to memorize like this is the perfect thing, but like you're creating combos essentially. You know, it's all combo Tony Hawk, the way that like, you know, Castle Ravenloft is all Encounter D&D. You know? Which is cool. Like that's a really rad thing, I think. It looks really cool. Like it animates really well. It's got kind of an 8-bit side thing that looks a little bit like Cannibalt to me. A little bit more colorful than that, but you know, I like that about it. Like I love skating games. I think I'm probably a little bit more on the exploratory side than this like mastery level. Like I never got to my Tony Hawk levels where I could just, you know, get trillions and trillions of points in combos. Like, you know, I got satisfied making the, you know, 100,000 thing I could do and then felt good about it and moved on. So
Yeah, this game definitely is for that other audience, because the goals you need to meet for like the point executions to get that portion of completing the level are just ridiculously high. They are they require really good players in order to get through.
I like that. I want to watch more like of this on YouTube. Like I want to watch like really great players because
There's so little.
I
There's
noticed that
like
too.
not nearly enough.
The because it's I mean it was a really well-regarded game. They like announced a sequel, which is kind of crazy because it just came out real recently and they're already like, you know, here comes a sequel. But the it just feels like it's made for that kind of thing because it's just full of mastery. So like watching people be really good at something is always fun, and this game, you know, would express that really well, I think.
Yeah, the other thing I learned about the sequel that I'm really excited for is it's going to include a multiplayer mode.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's going to be rad. But, however, it also has not been announced for PC yet.
Yeah, and it has a fucking crafting system.
I
like Tony Hawk or like
hope not, does it?
Skater Die 2. No, it doesn't. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But
Jesus Christ.
I
You had
just
me
forget
really frightened for a
that
second.
Skater Die 2 kind of has a crafting system when you're like collecting tapes and CDs to convert them into new boards and tricks and trading tacos like fat guys for spray cans. But like the I wonder if I wonder if it has a level editor, because that seems like a no-brainer to
Yeah,
me.
that does seem like a no-brainer. I don't th I'm pretty sure the original doesn't.
I didn't find it if it does, and it wasn't in the version that I played. But the idea of like a level editor for this would be really fun, I think. Do
Yeah, for
some
sure.
ROM hack style, like, you know, just real feats of reflex.
Yeah, crazy cool. You know what I want to see someone do in Ollie Ollie level editor is like a cool level where it's you don't have to press, like you just hold one direction and it just will like take you through a cool environment, and like the whole time your guy's doing crazy like perfect grinds that you would never accomplish on your own, but because you just held one button, the level set up perfectly to flow you through the level.
Like that, there's that Super Mario World
Yeah,
ROM hack that plays
exactly.
the song. Like, and you do, there's no controller inputs.
I want to see that in
That would
Ollie
be
Ollie.
awesome.
The other thing we never mentioned, though, the soundtrack for this game is fucking good.
Yeah, it is real good.
It's really good. This is one of my favorite like pick up and play when I have nothing else to do, because you can play it for 5 minutes at a time, and it's just got like really nice chill jams and throughout the whole thing. So.
It's really good. Yeah, I like this game. I will come back to it in
Yep.
those specific situations. Like it
Exactly.
makes me kind of wish, I mean, I don't wish I had a Vita, heaven forfend, but like if it would be awesome on a Vita though. Like it would be
Yep.
such a good like bus game or max game.
It would be.
You know, like it's perfect for that. Like sitting down in front of my computer, like it's not ideal.
Yeah, it's not the right environment for it. This definitely makes sense why it came out on Vita first. But yeah, I'm not going to buy a Vita. So
yeah, what are you going to do?
I think that's about all. The one thing I was going to say is that this is my current pick up and play game because it's definitely going to be soon replaced by Rebirth, which is the perfect flow into our Rebirth contest.
Yeah, as you mentioned last episode.
Yes, we mentioned last episode. But I will highlight again, and also in the next episode, that right now we are holding a contest where if you give us a review on iTunes, you know, you can be truthful, we're not expecting perfect reviews, but give us a nice review of what your thoughts are on the show on iTunes, and we're going to take the whole selection of everyone who's reviewed the game, randomly select someone to receive a copy of Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
Yeah, and if you are tempted to give us like a 3-star review, let us know. Like, you know, we're open to feedback.
Yeah,
say what you would like better about the show. And we have our next few episodes planned out. It's really exciting. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, they all sound really good.
And for some reason, playing this because you're talking about cool soundtracks reminded me that Hotline Miami 2 comes out at some point.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, just in the amazing wealth of good games that we have ahead of us and we're currently in.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'll have to look into one that's coming out.
Yeah, because that's...
Oh, and one more note on the contest real quick. So I'll be bringing it to your attention again next episode, and we will end it probably, I think, the 28th or 29th of October is when we'll have a cutoff.
Yeah.
And in the November 1st episode, which is 3 days before the release of Rebirth, we will announce a winner and contact you in whatever way possible.
Yeah.
So
running it for about a month, and you might have to reach out to us and et cetera, et cetera. But we'll figure
it
out.
Yeah, if you hear a name on the show, if we don't see you on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and we can't get to you first, then yeah, we will announce you on the show, and you can come find us on one of those, and we'll get you your game.
Yeah. So, you know, not just for that reason, but also because you like this show, go on iTunes and rate and review it. go to facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade to talk to us there. And you can also submit game suggestions and stuff at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yep. And also Twitter at Comrade Podcast.
Indeed.
So that's about all the social media places we choose to exist on. So.
Yeah, there's no Instagram.
Nope. No Instagram.
No Instagram.
It's like screenshots of games and filters.
Yeah, we don't have an Elo. Or like a Tinder account. Yeah, we don't have a Grindr. Check it out, Grindrs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All right,
guys.
See you guys in a couple weeks.
See ya.
Bye.